All right, Wednesday, 5 p.m., as always, as usual. 90.3 WHPC, WHPC HD is what you are tuned into. Time for American Hit Radio. And I'm your host, Tom Ryan, with my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan.
Always running the board, not running my mouth.
That's my job. Oh, man. And that's unfortunately for everybody in some ways, right? But hey, somebody's got to do it, right?
They got to deal with it.
I was going to say, you know, I don't know. If you're like me, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Oh, God, please have pity on me, people.
But, I mean, in some ways, everybody's like me. In some ways. I mean, every now and then, you get to a point where if you're going to listen to music, you don't want it to be too complicated. You just want it to be beautiful and pleasant and something that you can just enjoy, because life can get so complicated and I can get really wound up. And I'll admit right now at this point in time, there is so much that is happening all at once. Everything all at once. We were just saying that with Heidi minutes ago, that it's really just, it's kind of hard to calm down. And there's some music that would actually make that even more difficult in your lifetime, even if it's great. You know, but I mean, I like complex music, but there's moments when I'm just like, I need something that just makes me feel good. Something that's not going to like rip my brain apart. And today's one of those shows. It is a top 500 album. Deservedly so, of course, otherwise I wouldn't have chosen it. From December of 1976, 50 years old this year, as everything has been for what we've played since 2026 rolled around as we are airing this live. And it's an album that reached number 21 on the pop charts. It's called Luxury Liner. It's by Emmy Lou Harris. It's one of those albums that just starts off beautiful and it ends beautiful. And the whole thing just is such a pleasure to listen to. So, I mean, between Emmy Lou Harris and her producer, Brian Ahern, there seems to be no stone left unturned to ensure that their end product will be absolutely pristine upon completion. Every song on Luxury Liner sparkles like a gem, with an attention to detail that makes their albums stand out above the competition. That's what makes it so pleasant. It's not just the production, but it's also the personnel that they managed to bring along. I mean, with some of the most revered names in American music that make an appearance on this album. Check this out. James Burton, Hank DeVito, Emery Gordy Jr., Glenn Hardin, Mickey Raphael, Ricky Skaggs, and Albert Lee. This represents the cream of the crop among country musicians. And then there's the backing vocalists, like Dolly Parton, Nicolette Larson, Herb Peterson, and Diane Brooks. My apologies for not listing every talent that appears on Luxury Liner, but honestly, there are just simply too many to name them all. Emmy Lou Harris herself isn't a prolific songwriter, so she relies on her good taste for most of her material, but she has incredibly good taste. By picking songs written by Graham Parsons, Townes Van Zandt, Rodney Crowell, who, by the way, also contributes guitar and vocals on this record, the Louvin Brothers, the Carter Family, and Chuck Berry, you end up with this veritable, is that the right word?
Veritable,
and yet seemingly casual greatest hits record. It's timeless in its execution, and it remains stunning to behold. And what's best about it is that it doesn't create any sort of nervous tension. It's just a pleasure. So we're going to sit back and enjoy it. And if I don't have much to say, that's all right, too, because on the CD, there's even a couple of bonus tracks. And if I've got extra time, I might be able to play one or two of them, depending on how much talking I want to do. But We'll see where it takes us. The album is called Luxury Liner. It was written by Graham Parsons, and it is also the opening track. It's a killer country rocker. Here's Luxury Liner. I don't even want to talk over that guitar. It's so great. It's so awesome. And we're just getting started. I mean, Emmylou is like, she's so appealing to so many different audiences. I mean, she's got the whole country scene on her, you know, basically that was following her around this time. But she was also appealing to, like, well, the country rock thing was happening in a very big way. And that bled her over into the rock crowd. So when she was playing live, there was a very big, you know, rock audience that would be following her. And that led into the whole Americana thing, which made her kind of like universal. And she never really got, she wasn't one of those people that always had her name in the press. Like that happens to a lot of people who end up, when you get to be that well known, it's almost inevitable that there's going to be, there's this and there's that and all this problem, all, you know, men problems, or she's having some sort of a fight with this. None of that with Emmylou. I mean, she was just, you know, about the music, and she stayed that way. And for decades, it's part of the reason why, one of the main reasons why this album really doesn't cause any sort of agita when you listen to it. It's just beautiful and fun. Now, at this point in time, in 1976, the country charts were a lot different than they are now. And she was pretty well loved by the country audience. The album before this was a number one album, and this album as well became her second consecutive number one album. We covered both. I think we covered the previous Emmy Lou Harris album as well. I think Elite Hotel. In this series, if you go back, if you go to our website and all that, and you search back for Emmy Lou Harris, you'd be able to find the previous album that we covered. But this is her second number one album in a row. And it has two top 10 country singles as well. And one of them, although the next song wasn't one of the hit singles, but I mention it because, again, it just goes to show you how remarkable and powerful, in a way, Emmy Lou Harris was. It's a song that was written by Townes Van Zandt. And in 1976, I'm going to be a little bit sarcastic here, but there's probably maybe 50 to 75 people who knew who Townes Van Zandt was in 1976. This is a guy that would be able to, he'd play in bars that would have less than 100 people. And he would, put an album out of him, playing live in a bar with less than 100 people. And then when the album came out, those 100 people might be the only people to buy the album. I mean, he was that unknown. But he was incredibly, loved and respected by his peers. As a songwriter, he was something remarkable, a bit of a legend, really. Nothing's worse than being a legend, though, who is like living on the brink of poverty. And you're getting all of the praise and all of the glory and but you're not really making any money. Unless somebody starts to cover your songs and they make money, and then you can actually begin to get some income from that. So that was the beauty of this, because Emmy Lou Harris was the very first person to cover a Townes Van Zandt song and make it famous by putting it on this album. And it was the very first cover of the song Poncho and Lefty, since then covered by Willie Nelson, and maybe then by another, those 50 to 75 people who were in that audience who were beginning to think that maybe they could worship this guy, they also covered that song. So yeah, it became super popular, and Townes Van Zandt eventually became almost a household name. And you can really thank Emmy Lou Harris for getting that ball rolling. Here's that first well-known version, then, of the song Poncho and Lefty, written by Townes Van Zandt.
Living on the road, my friend, is gonna keep you free and clean. Now you wear skin like iron, your breath's as hard as kerosene. Weren't your mama's only boy, but her favorite one, it seemed. She began to cry when you said goodbye and sank into your dreams. Poncho was a bandit bus. His horse was fast as polished steel. He wore his gun outside his pants for all the honest world to feel. Poncho met his match, in the deserts down in Mexico, and nobody heard his dying words. cheap hotel. The desert's quiet and Cleveland's cold. And so the story ends were told. Poncho, need your prayers, it's true. But save a few for Lefty too. He only did what he had.
Showed him some real kindness.
It's one of those songs, there's a lot of holes in the story. That's what makes it so awesome. You don't really know exactly who did what and why, but it's just, you can tell that they're like desperate desperados, but
oh, yeah.
There's a certain...
But he loved his mama.
That's the late, great Towns Van Zandt. That was actually the name of one of his albums when he was still alive. He put it out and he called it that. No, he really is the late, great Towns Van Zandt. Poncho and Lefty was that song. Now, the next track that Emmylou chose is by a guy named Jimmy Work, about whom I know virtually nothing, except I know some of his songs. And I wouldn't have associated it until I, looked it up. I mean, he wrote a song called Tennessee Border, and he released it as a single for himself. He was actually living in Michigan. He left the South and he went up to Michigan because a lot of Southerners did this, to work in the automotive industry for a while because there were jobs there. It's a way to make money. And he was up there playing country music, but not really getting anywhere for himself. But his song got picked up and got played by people like Tennessee Ernie Ford, Hank Williams even did it, and Red Foley. So it got him some recognition in that regard. And he even was able to appear at the Grand Ole Opry for a while. Eventually, he was signed to another record label, and he played a couple of concerts with even Elvis Presley, but he never really got that big hit of his own. He was writing songs, but this next song, actually, it ended up becoming a hit by Kitty Wells, not by him. And I presume that that's how Emmylou heard it. And so she probably wasn't even aware of the fact of the song's lineage either, to be honest. She probably just figured it was something that Kitty Wells might have picked up somehow, which is the truth. So here is a Jimmy Work song, probably that Emmylou heard from the Kitty Wells version, called Making Believe.
Making believe that you still love me. It's leaving me alone and so blue. Still I'll always dream I'll never own you. Making believe it's all I can do.
Make and Believe, and the track we just heard was called You're Supposed to Be Feeling Good, written by Rodney Crowell. Now, as I said, this album, Luxury Liner, came out in 1976, December of 1976. About 10 years' time going forward in the late 80s, Rodney Crowell became quite the star for a while. He put out his own album called Diamonds and Dirt in 1988, and at that point in time, he was the husband of Roseanne Cash. He no longer is, but they were married at that point in time. And his album was so huge, he put out, that album had five singles on it, Diamonds and Dirt. All five of them went to number one on the country charts. That set a record.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, that is still standing as a record for the most number one hits from a country album ever. And that goes to Rodney Crowell. He was another Townes Van Zandt fan, by the way. Wrote, every songwriter, if they were a country songwriter, if they didn't say that, then they really couldn't admit to being a country songwriter, I'm afraid. But he was a member of the Emmylou Harris Band for about three or four years or something like that for a while before he ended up becoming a solo artist on his own. Hey, let me remind you, you're listening to 90.3 WHPC, WHPC HD, Garden City, New York. The show is American Hit Radio, and what we do is we play albums for the love of it, because albums are cool. And they're also becoming a little bit obsolete. So we felt that there was a, when we started this, I thought that they were going to be completely dead. And
you know, albums tell a story if it's a good album.
Yeah.
The continuity of it.
Continuity is a perfect word. There's something, right, because if you don't play, if you're relying on the services and everything else and playlists, you're getting bounced all over the place, and it's really hard to get to know an artist or what they're about or what it is that they're trying to say to you. And when they put albums together, they usually do it with a lot of deliberation. You can tell that that's quite obvious with the Sammy Lou Harris album. So that's why we do it. And it's been a lot of fun, and we've got 1,000 favorite ones that we want to cover. So this is just one of those 1,000. Although I would rank this one fairly high because, like I said, this is just a pure pleasure to be able to do this. All right, let's get back to where we were. This next track is by a writer named Susanna Clark. Sorry, I can't tell you too much about her. But it's a beautiful song called I'll Be Your San Antone Rose.
Life's sign.
I'll bet you recognize that one. That's a Chuck Berry song. C'est la vie. You never can tell. Emmylou released that as a single and went to number 6 on the country charts, as did Making Believe, the Jimmy Work song that we played a few minutes ago. That was also a hit single, went top 10 and went to number 8 for this album. Those are the two hit singles from the album Luxury Liner for Emmylou Harris. Now, this next song was written by the Louvin brothers, Ira and Charlie, two of the most well-known of, you talk about family singers and stuff like that. Oh my gosh. You know, they are so legendary. And the stories about them are so crazy. There's so many crazy stories about the Louvin brothers. Ira was usually sang lead tenor, and Charlie would usually sing in the deeper range. But when they were performing, they had this weird way of basically knowing when they were going to just basically switch and do the exact opposite. And they would just like literally drift into each other's zone. And they would do it almost as if it was totally natural and instinctive. It was like, it must have been supernatural to see like that sort of a thing happen. But they were also totally different natures. Like Ira was nuts. Totally nuts. He was the type of guy that if he was tuning his mandolin, he was a drinker. And if he was having trouble tuning his mandolin, and if it wasn't working out the way that he wanted to, he would smash it to bits on stage sometimes. And then when he'd sober up, he'd try to put it all back together and stuff. And I think he got shot in the chest like 4 times by his wife and stabbed in the hand and everything. And he lived. He lived. I mean, it just really crazy stories. But Emmy, regardless of all that, Emmylou did have a hit single with the Louvin brothers on her previous album with the song If I Could Only Win Your Love. That went to number 4 for Emmylou Harris. Here she is back with this track. It wasn't released as a single, though. It's called When I Stop Dreaming.
You told me you loved someone new. stranger.
Put your loving hand in mine.
Hello, stranger.
Put your loving hand in mine.
You are a stranger.
Now, bit of a story there. That song, if you notice, is two female voices, and they sound so. If you thought that it was Emmylou Harris double tracking her own voice, that would be perfectly logical because they sound exactly the same. But that second voice is actually Nicolette Larson, and she passed in 1997, but. She had quite an interesting life, and it's worth mentioning because her love life kind of started like right here on this album. The person who's playing pedal steel on that song is Hank DeVito, and she ended up marrying him around this time after recording this album. But eventually they did divorce. You probably best know Nicolette Larson, though, because she started working with Neil Young around the Comes a Time album, and they were dating for a while. Until they went their separate ways. From there, she moved on and put out a solo album that was being produced by Andrew Gold. He's the guy that had a couple of hits like Lonely Boy and Thank You for Being a Friend, you know, pop stuff. And they became engaged, but then separated. She moved on. You know who her next boyfriend was? Weird Al Yankovic. This very strange love life. Now, they didn't get married or anything, but then she eventually ended up marrying Russ Kunkel, the drummer from The Section, one of the most popular bands from L.A., and they remained married until her death, had a child together. I just thought that was all interesting because it was quite an amazing run for Nicolette Larson. And I also think it's amazing that she can sound so much like Emmy Lou Harris on that track. All right, this next song is a song written by Emmy Lou's once partner in music, Graham Parsons, which we already heard her doing on Luxury Liner. Graham Parsons wrote this song with Chris Etheridge, and it was, I mean, there's a version of Graham Parsons performing the song She, but Emmy Lou crushes it. She totally crushes it. This is hers. It's sort of the song that you'd expect a guy to sing, and it would make more sense. But I don't know. In Emmy Lou's hands, everything makes sense. So here's the Graham Parsons tune, She.
She came from the land of the cotton, land that was nearly forgotten by everyone. And she worked and she slaved so hard. A big old field was her backyard in the Delta sun. But she sure could sing.
Song, and I love that version. I mean, that's it.
Man.
The thing is, when you hear, and I hate to say it, but when you hear the original version by Graham Parsons, he's a little pitchy on it. That's fixed with Emmy Lou Harris' version, that's for sure. All right. Didn't have time for the bonus tracks, but that's all right. If you want to pick up the CD, you can do that any way you want to. But we'll end with this song, It's written by Emmylou Harris with Rodney Crowell. They wrote it together. It's called Tulsa Queen. Thanks, everybody. If you want to join us on Friday, we're going to do something completely different. We're going to start a series on Pink Floyd. So if you want, check us out Friday, 5 p.m. See you then.
You don't.